Welcome to Interfaith Encounters, consequential conversations with leaders from different faith traditions about how their communities are responding to the challenges of contemporary society. I'm your host, Dr. Robert Hunt, Director of Global Theological Education at the Perkins School of Theology of Southern Methodist University. In this episode, Mr. S.P. Krishnamurthy of the DFW Hindu Temple Society will first introduce Hinduism and its key values and teachings before discussing how the COVID-19 pandemic is affecting his community. Mr. Krishnamurthy is a past trustee of the DFW Hindu Temple and has been involved in the temple-related activities from before the formal founding. He founded Nadhapasana, which is the cultural arm of the religious services of the temple. It consists of performances of classical religious music and dances inside the temple for the enjoyment of the deities. Welcome, Mr. Krishnamurthy. So perhaps we could begin if I ask you to give us a brief introduction to your religion and to please tell us the difference between Sanatana Dharma and Hinduism.
Hinduism is the name of the religion that has been given by the historians and sociologists, but the practitioners call themselves Sanatana Dharmis, which means they are following the Sanatana Dharma. Sanatana Dharma is a set of principles that are eternal in nature. Hindu religion and Sanatana Dharma I will use interchangeably for our discussions. It's a very ancient religion. It's a monotheistic religion, and it has been there forever. So it's very unconventional religion in the sense there is no one individual who started this religion. There is no one leader for this religion. Vedas are the sacred text, but Vedas are not the words of God. Vedas are the words of Maharishis and Rishis. Rishis are very scholarly people. They discuss the theology. And when they discuss among themselves and they teach their own students, they all become part of the Vedas. So Vedas themselves came not from God, but from the Rishis. God, as described by Vedas, there is only a single God. I quote, Ekam Sat Vipraha Bahuda Vadanti. That means there is only one God, the Satyam, the truth, the eternal. The scholars describe in different ways. This religion believes in the God that is omnipresent, omnipotent, and omniscient. God is masculine at once. He is masculine, feminine, and neuter gender. So you can refer to God as a he or a she or an it. God takes occasional incarnations whenever there are too many bad things going on the earth, and he has to come to settle that. So over a long period of time, God has come in different forms. Certain forms are more famous than the others, starting with a fish, a tortoise, a pig, a half lion and half man, a dwarf, an impeccable prince called Rama, and Krishna, who was a cowherd. These famous incarnations all have their own stories. And people, when they listen to these stories, they are captivated and inspired by certain of these stories. And then they follow that particular incarnation of God. But those who are uninitiated and were mere observers, they think the Hindus are praying to different gods. It is just that they are praying to different incarnations of the same God. It is absolutely monotheist.
I think you've already touched on this, but can you explain some of the salient principles of Sanatana Dharma that you mentioned earlier?
there are no such like 10 commandments, but I can get a few of those things from different parts of the Vedas. Most important, Matru Devo Bhava, Pitru Devo Bhava, Acharya Devo Bhava, Atithi Devo Bhava. That I will put it as the topmost principle. Pray to your mother as though she's God. Treat your father as your God. Treat your teacher as your God. Treat your guest as your God. I will add this. The importance given to mother as the number one is very obvious. Mother has gone through a lot during pregnancy and in raising the children. And because of that, she is given a godly status. Rama, who is an incarnation of the God, during his life as Rama, as a prince, he says, whatever the children may try, however much they may try, they will never be able to repay the debt to their parents. That's a statement right from God. It's not Vedas, it's outside of Vedas from Ramayana, and it comes from the godly incarnation. Then I'll put the next one as Satyam Vada. Speak the truth. Satyameva Jayate. The truth will prevail in the end. Here, interesting thing is the Vedas say, I quote, you must talk only the truth, but that is also pleasant. If it is not pleasant, even if it is true, don't talk. Then don't talk the untruth to be pleasant. Then says Dharmam Chara. Dharmam Chara is simply saying, follow the rules, follow the conventions, follow whatever has been given to you by your leaders. This also includes the rules from the king or the minister or the president or prime minister, any of these things. We can say all the rules should be followed. Then I will take one more point, which there are so many, which is important because it has connection with the other religions also. When an Atma leaves a body, a person dies. When an Atma enters the body, there is a birth. This Atma cannot be produced. It cannot be destroyed. It cannot be multiplied. It can only be transformed. In Bhagavad Gita, God Krishna says, you cannot use a missile to break the Atma. You cannot have fire to burn the Atma. You cannot have water to wet it. You cannot have wind to dry it. Atma, and therefore the reincarnation of the individuals into another one, that leads to what is known as karma theory. Karma is people do the good things and the bad things. All the good deeds and the bad deeds lead you to your next generation, in your next life, to reap the benefit of the net benefit of what you have done. And if you have not been a good person in your previous life, in the next generation, in the next life, you have problems. So these are just three or four salient principles.
Thank you so much. One of the things I understand in theological discussions is that the holy Vedas of the Hindu religion are closely aligned with nature and various aspects of nature. Perhaps you could help us understand some of this.
All of Hindu religion, everywhere, is talking about the connection between us and the rest of the universe. Gayatri Upanishad says, the earth, the sky, the space, the moon, the planets, the sun, and the stars, they all form the universe. The earth itself is but a tiny part in this universe. And we are very, very infinitesimally small part in this earth. So the Vedas tell us to fall in line with the rest, cooperate with the rest. That's the only way for salvation for you. We are asked to be respectful and grateful to all these natural things. So our feeling that they are God creatures is what is making this as a connection to nature.
I see. How do you and your community react to the COVID-19 pandemic, both philosophically and practically from the standpoint of the Hindu religion?
You see, earthly calamities like earthquakes, floods and droughts, poisonous bacteria and viruses, they all indicate a certain dislike and anger towards us from nature and God. The Hindu religion asks us to offer prayers to God, to the nature, the planets, and the stars. This is a very important function in the temple because people have certain problems, and they have those problems, they come and talk to the priest, and then they identify where they should be doing propitiating services, and they do that. And in our temple, the virus is seen as something we have to do to God to earn his blessings. And therefore, we need to go to the temple and pray to God. But unfortunately, because of the community practice, the social distancing, the temples are closed for the public to enter. But what they do, the temple management, very thoughtfully, they have the priest coming in regularly, doing all the things inside the temple as though devotees are there, except there's no devotee. But what they do is take the videos of them and then transmit it live through various social media like Facebook, and people can, if they want to, see it live or see it later when it's convenient for them. In addition, almost in every Hindu home, there is a certain space allotted for prayer to God. Some have a special room for it, some have a corner for it, some have just a corner shelf for it, like that. But it is dedicated for prayers. And you will find that the Hindu population very seriously follow the social distancing and other policies that the government asks us to do. This is not a religion where it tells the people to think about their common sense or something else. It says, follow the rules. Follow the rules of the community.
Are there some particular hardships for members of your community being located, in some cases, far from their families?
Yes, there are people who are visiting from India, and they are visiting their children, maybe. They are here for a short time, or planning to be here for a short time. Now they got stuck. They're not able to go. There are people who have gone to India or some other places, and they are separated from their own family. The husband is separated from the wife, or the children are separated from the parents. They cannot come here. That seems to be the major problem, most major problem. Then it is not everybody who has access to the doctors to ask all kinds of questions. And when you are looking at the television shows and all, you find a lot of people giving different information. This is not a unified information. So sometimes you don't know which one to believe and which one to discard. And that is for almost everybody in the country, but especially for people in our community.
Is there anything else you would like to say about the Hindu community living in our area during these days when everyone seems to be tied up in COVID-19 and virus-related matters?
There are certain values for the Hindu community that come from the religion. For instance, very high value, very high significance is placed on a quality known as Vinayam. The closest translation I can make is humility. Humility, it says, the Vedas, they say, Vidya Dadati Vinayam. The education, when you are highly educated, you become very humble. And the humility is such a powerful force. Not only it mellows one's own behavior, but it also gives them tremendous mental strength. The humility, seemingly a weak quality, really provides you with the tremendous strength to face. So we are now feeling humble against the nature. We are now feeling very humble against God. For whatever reason, for whatever problem, whatever somebody did or somebody did not do, all these combinations, we are going through a problem that our generations have not witnessed. But we feel if we pray to God, we pray to God with sincerity and deep devotion, selflessness, then God will bless us. The Hindus, when they finish their prayers, they always say, Kale Varshatu Parjanyaha, let there be rain in the right seasons. Number two, they say, Loka Samastaha Sukhino Bhavantu, let all the beings in the world live in comfort. So we are asking God's blessings so that there could be copious rains, but in the right season, and let every being in the world be happy. So we are always praying for everybody. That includes us.
Thank you again, Mr. Krishnamurthy, for sharing with us and taking your time.
Well, I want to say that theologians like you and your professors in SMU from anthropology and all, they've been doing this for quite some time. And if you could do more for bringing the different communities together. So you are part of that. I appreciate that. I congratulate you for that.
This has been an episode of Interfaith Encounters, Consequential Conversations with Leaders of Different Faith Traditions. I'm Robert Hunt, inviting you to join us for new episodes each Tuesday.